The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Luke Stuckmeyer and the Cap Man, David Kaplan, with you today. Cubs apparently had another day of pouring rain out in Arizona, but really, the biggest news recently has been talk of Joe Maddon's lineup discussion. So, Cap, we talked a lot about this at the end of the season after Theo talked, and you were pretty confident that he was going to have a way more consistent lineup this season. But it sounds like Joe is just going to go series by series and tell the players ahead of time what he's going to do. So they'll have a little more information ahead of time, but he's still going to be very fluid in his lineups. What do you think?
I guess because they don't have a defined leadoff guy on their roster as of right now, unless somebody emerges, it kind of makes it tough to have an always set lineup because you're always changing at the top, especially when they got one guy that you might use. Zobrist is 30, almost 38. Yeah. Can't play every day.
And hasn't been, there's something going on. He's been excused. He hasn't been to camp just yet.
They're hoping by tomorrow.
Okay, so I just think it's interesting to say this is what the lineup's going to be for the series because you don't know what a guy's going to do. What if a guy the night before gets four hits? You're not going to play him because you told somebody the day before, hey, tomorrow you're playing. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be more fluid than that, right?
I would hope, but what players have seemed to indicate over the years, and Anthony Rizzo talked about this last year with us, and I think on the radio, he said, okay, hey, you're going to get Thursday off. Just know Thursday. So he says, okay, good. I'm going to go out to dinner Wednesday night. I'm going to do whatever. So it gives
sure.
them time.
I get that. Like, if you're going to tell somebody they're going to have a day off. But
right.
I don't know. I'll be interested to see how it works out. And for me, that's the other big story about the lineup thing, as you mentioned, is leadoff, man. Because at the end of the season, if you would have asked me, well, what are the three things they need? We talked about the consistent lineup.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about bullpen help,
mm-hmm.
which they've certainly gone out and added to the bullpen a little bit this offseason. And if you don't include being healthy as the third thing, which you really don't have control
then
over,
the leadoff guy.
Then the third one was the leadoff
guy. We talked about could we trade for Whit Merrifield, who just signed an extension in KC.
Right, so that's not going to happen. Listen, it hasn't worked the last 2 years.
It's not.
And it's not necessarily that the numbers are bad at the leadoff spot. It's that when you don't have a consistent leadoff guy and you're moving the lineup around, it impacts the rest of the lineup. It's a trickle-down effect from the top to the bottom. Yes, the guy only bats leadoff technically maybe once in the game, but it's the way it impacts the rest of the lineup. Do you think it's going to be a problem again? Because there's no denying it's been a bit of a problem the last 2 years.
You're exactly right there. Look, Theo and Jed are brilliant. Joe's obviously a successful manager.
Right.
I can't believe going into the final year of his contract, and Theo has said, we've got to turn this thing around now and capitalize, that they are comfortable with this if they didn't really wholeheartedly believe in it.
Well, I know they still believe that Kyle Schwarber could have been that guy, and that was just sort of floated out there a little bit. And my only thing is, if you're going to tell Schwarber, make Schwarber the leadoff guy, just make him the leadoff guy. In his development, he's one of the guys I don't want to see bouncing around the lineup.
Agreed.
That's just a personal preference for me as a Cubs fan watching a game. He's a young player trying to develop. If I'm going to move somebody around, I'd rather move around a Ben Zobrist, a Jason Hayward around the lineup, whoever
Agreed.
It might be, Descalso. But moving Schwarber around, I'd rather have him.
If you're making him the leadoff guy, leave him there.
It's a different mindset leadoff. Even going from, guys in the middle of the lineup, if you move them from 2 to 3, 3 to 4, around in there, to me, that the mindset's way more similar there than it is if you're trying to take a guy and say, oh, you're at the bottom, you're near the bottom lineup, or you're going to bat leadoff. It's tough for a young player, I would think. I mean, I've never heard Schwarber say that, but I would think that is tough mentally to prepare for a game that way.
Yeah, to show up and go, oh, I'm hitting third now. That's a little different. So you're not thinking of just, how do I get on base? How do I just put the ball in play? Oh, now you need me to drive in runs. I agree with you. I think that is the number one thing for me after fixing the bullpen.
But it didn't happen.
Did not happen.
So who?
They must believe in this.
So who do you think will bat lead off more often than not?
Ben Zobrist.
Zobrist maybe 40% of the time, 50% of the time?
Maybe Almora gets his chance. I'm not a huge Ian Happ guy at the top of the lineup. Good run producer. He's got good thump.
Yeah.
Maybe Almora is the guy.
I just think a lot of the questions that were there going into the offseason, some of the bigger ones
are still there.
And that doesn't mean they can't be answered, but a lot of them are still there. They're still banking on a lot of the things that were there a year ago.
Is Darvish going to be healthy? Who are your depth starters? Montgomery and Chatwood? Okay, it's all right. Do you go get a veteran backup catcher? There's still a lot of things to be answered.
We thought there might be a backup catcher too, but it doesn't appear that's going to change.
Yeah, Martin Maldonado, though, is sitting out there. Pretty solid backup
catcher.
You'd
like to see him be backup.
I would love to see that.
You know, you mentioned the rotation and who's going to be kind of the glue guys, the rotation. I thought Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic had a really good article recently talking with Jose Quintana and Tommy Haddavy. And he's talking about, you know, first of all, his ERA of just over 4 in 2018. Prior to that, 17, if you combine the teams, he was also over 4. But prior to those two seasons, he was always below a 4 ERA. The previous five seasons of his career, one thing he hasn't done as much is use his changeup. He's been a lot of fastball, and he's worked on it this offseason. That's one he said he admitted to Sahadev that, you know, sometimes you get away from a pitch when things are going well, and then when you want to go back to it all of a sudden and things aren't going well, it's not readily available. It's just not ready to jump out of your hand like that. So he's really worked on the changeup because, A, his velocity's not what it used to be. You know, his velocity's like 5 miles an hour less than it was in what probably was the prime of his career. Do you think changeup could really change him that much? Do you think they can still get more than what you've often said is they got a Buick for Eloy Jimenez? He's not a bad pitcher. He has good games, but he's not a Cadillac. Do you think adding back the changeup can help that?
That Kyle Hendricks says that is his favorite pitch to throw and the most important pitch he throws. If Jose Quintana can throw one like Kyle Hendricks, yeah.
Yeah, well, everybody would say that, right? But it is the older you get, more about deception. He can't just blow it by guys anymore, especially when he doesn't have his command. And that was another thing in the article.
That's the big thing. It's his command.
And it was talking about how Tommy Haddavy caught late in the season on video that Quintana was lifting his toe on his delivery, and it was throwing off his balance and throwing off his command. And they think they've noticed that. So now he's got to remember to point the toe down, and it sort of centers him a little bit. Isn't it crazy that something that small can impact a guy that much?
We talked about it last summer with Kyle Hendricks, where if his foot was 6 inches off the ground, he wasn't getting the dive on his changeup. But when he got it 2 feet off the ground, he's throwing downhill, and he got all that heavy action, and he's had a great second half.
Well, you know, it's sort of like a golf swing. Just think about it. You could go out to the range and hit 100 golf balls the same way, and you think, I've got it down. And then something changes. You get to the first tee, you hit your first drive, and you're like, what was that?
Where'd that come from? I just pulled it left?
Yeah, and what is it?
And it feels the same.
Your thumb was too far to the right. Your left foot was too far to the left. Your stance was, your gait was 2 inches too far difference. I mean, it is really kind of crazy that they've narrowed stuff down in this game to that kind of detail.
Spin rate, everything. They could tell you, hey, the spin on your curveball is, you know, a quarter of a second. It's not getting the heavy rotation. It's crazy.
What do you think Haddavy brings to the table as the pitching coach?
He obviously knows the pitching infrastructure, works well with Mike Borzello, but the players love him. We were there last week. You asked Kyle Hendricks. You asked John Lester. These guys are like, yeah, man, I'm all in with Tommy Hotovy. We love that guy.
You know, it's funny to listen to the current Cubs in the organization. They seem to embrace numbers, really. You know, they seem to embrace the information, more information they can get. They embrace Hotovy and the way he'll deal with numbers. They know Jed and Theo are about numbers. Joe's about more about numbers. And then you hear Jeff Samardzija talking about Bruce Bochy, and he says, well, when he's gone, it's all going to be pencil pushers running the teams right from now on. There are some guys in baseball that still don't want to go that way. They still want it to be just nuts and bolts baseball.
Yeah, what did Samardzija say? There'll be 30 robots?
30 robots and pencil pushers? Was that what
it was?
I
think that might have been.
Something like that.
Robots and pencil pushers, yeah.
Speaking of managers.
Right. Because most guys are afraid, oh, God, if I don't bunt with Luke, I'm going to get crushed in the postgame if we don't win. Most guys don't have the confidence to do it.
Anymore.
Right. Lou Piniella had it. Dusty had it.
Yeah.
To name a couple. Ozzy had it. A lot of guys don't.
So what's the biggest thing the Cubs have to fix in your mind here before? Not fix. What do they have to work on most? What do you want to see improved on the Cubs before they report here? As Cactus League games get started, boy, this weekend already.
Yeah, I want to see somebody emerge at second base. You know, Zobrist isn't in camp yet, but we know what he can do. But I want to see, can Ian Happ play there? Because he gives you more thump in your lineup. What's Descalso's best role? And I want to see exactly what Albert Almora does, because Joe Madden said, I watched this guy run after a fly ball the other day. I went, who is that guy? And they're like, that's Almora. He's like, that's Almora. He's in the best shape of his life.
Descalso is interesting because you say, well, where does he play on a daily basis if he's going to play? You have to move him around a little bit. We've also heard about Almora that a little more pop on the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And so
been lifting.
That changes things, too, if you can get a little more power out of him and a little better on-base percentage. Really, his batting average was okay,
Bingo.
But he's got to get on base. He's got to walk a little bit more, and then he's got to have a little more pop to his bat. That would lead to him potentially being
an outstanding fielder.
Right. That would lead to him potentially being an everyday player. And you say, well, all right, but I don't know. What if Schwarber's good in left? Yeah, well, he could be in center. Happ could be in center. And if Hayward's not playing well, now you can put both those guys out. You can put Happ and Almora out there.
No question. You can move Zobrist out there.
You can move Zobrist. And we've talked about the potential of, at some point, Chris Bryant.
Going to the outfield.
Going to the outfield. But it doesn't look like it's going to be this year. Not very much. I thought at the end of the season, there was at least a 50-50 chance that he was going to be more of a left fielder moving forward, starting this season, than a third baseman.
Yeah.
But it doesn't appear that way.
I thought maybe they would trade Schwarber, move him for whoever it was, Whit Merrifield or whoever, and then put Chris Bryant in left field. But doesn't look like that's a possibility.
What's your gut feeling from what you hear from Cubs fans on the radio? Are they satisfied with the offseason? Are they excited about
the offseason? They're never satisfied.
Well, there's always a bit of panic. I think there's less panic than there was certainly after they won the World Series. Once they won the World Series, the, oh, no, here it comes, doom and gloom.
Correct.
There's less of that. But there's still something. I think it's bred into Chicago sports fans. There's always that little bit of doubt. The only time there wasn't that little bit of doubt is when Michael Jordan was playing.
Right.
That was the most confident you'll ever see.
Or the Blackhawks.
Or the Blackhawks. But Michael was the one thing that gave you the supreme confidence.
We got this.
Doesn't matter what the score is. Michael's
right.
About to go off.
Everybody knew Cody Parkey was going to miss the field goal.
I sat in that press box and I thought to myself, this is coming down to a field goal. He's made a field goal. Oh, boy, he's going to have to make like three more. Makes another. Oh, boy, now I really don't like the odds. I wish he would have missed that one because the big one's still coming.
He had three field goals, went up for an over four.
I was going down to the locker room when he missed the field goal. I said, I knew that was coming.
Brutal. But you're right. With Michael,
so we're good. You're not sure where the confidence level is from Cubs fans right now?
I think there's some trepidation. I really sense the majority of people that call the radio are concerned. They're scared.
Are they scared that the window is closing?
Yes.
Or are they scared that this team's just not?
Yes and yes.
Both.
Yes and yes.
They're afraid that we're getting too close to when you're going to have to pay Chris Bryant.
Cardinals got Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller. They're better. The Brewers did this. They're better. Yeah.
But on paper, those two teams are not better.
I don't think they are.
No, they're definitely not better on paper.
Right.
But they weren't better on paper last year either. And so baseball's a strange thing. We'll see how it goes. I'm just looking forward to it getting started. Even Cactus League games. Just seeing
baseball.
Yeah, you can't really listen. I'm not going to put if Yu Darvish goes out and pitches great in spring training, I'm not going to throw my hands up and say Cy Young. It just doesn't mean anything. But
no, but let's see where you're at in July. No, I mean you, him.
I'd like to see. I just want to see him on the mound. Period. I want to see him be healthy enough to get through some starts.
He looks great. I can just tell you, standing this close to him, you and I are 3 feet apart. You're like, damn, that guy's big. He looks like he's cut. He just looks different.
And he's a guy that can still, he's not right now, but can still throw in the mid to upper 90s.
Correct.
Right? Right now he's about like
93, 94 2 days ago in batting practice.
Okay. So there's things to be optimistic about. We'll see what happens. You know, Bryce Harper, we don't know whether that's going to happen, but it's not coming to the Cubs, which is another thing.
No shot.
Which is another reason I think there's still that little bit of Chicago pessimism.
Because they thought it was a fait accompli that
everybody thought because of a few Twitter posts that it was definitely happening. And maybe, and you know, there's nothing to say that that wasn't his number one choice.
They just didn't have the money.
That just doesn't work out with how they're going to do it.
Their finances.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, Google, iTunes, wherever you might get your downloads. And check back next week. We'll have a bunch of podcasts for you coming, probably two or three next week. We'll see how it unfolds, depending on what's going on out at spring training. For David Kaplan, I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. We'll talk to you soon.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.